Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Praise God. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning. If you've been following with us, man, we're in like week number six here. So we're basically on a series called How to Get a Ripped Mind That Wants to Think on the Right Things All the Time. We've been bombarded, inundated with a good message for the body of Christ, and that is the importance of thinking right. Setting our mind on things above, as we said, that kind of setting our mind on things above, that's the 101. That's the indisputable Word of God, where it clearly tells us where to set our thoughts, our thinking. Things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, virtuous, praiseworthy. We know that, man, and it's one of those truths that we keep coming back to, even no matter what you preach or teach. It seems like you're always coming back to that truth. And so we said that's kind of the 101. And then there's the 201 to that message, and that's the why. Why is it a big deal? Well, boy, when you set your mind on things above, that's where there's spiritual mindedness and there's life and peace, the Bible says. Perfect peace. There's a place where you're able to hear and perceive and have ears to hear the things that the Spirit of God is saying. It makes you sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God as you're setting your mind on things above where Christ is. And so not only that, but we wanted to kind of go on from that to more of the how to do this. Because we said, boy, just think right sounds so simple on the surface, but there's a lot of headwinds in this world that we live in that challenges the way we think, and it's not just as easy as it sounds to just think right. In fact, we said there are thought patterns that you've invested years of your life into certain thought patterns that don't line up with the Scriptures, and it's not easy to just change them overnight. You're invested in them. It takes some believing. It takes some faith. You've been raised on certain thought patterns that may not be just right. So just change the way you think. You know, there's a little bit more to it than that. So what we've been endeavoring to do in this series is kind of, you know, how to get a ripped mind that wants to think on the right things all the time. So we're kind of taking that mental health standpoint and taking the think right message to a place of, hey, I really want to develop and get strong in my mind where I have a spiritual attention span that can stay focused on spiritual things and overcome areas of my life and really be transformed by that renewing of my mind that God calls us to in the Word of God. And so that's kind of the heart and the essence. As we've done that, we've kind of, the first one was basically ground rules. Discipline is not legalism. We get stirred up in the power of God. We said that there is a discipline involved in this, but it's not legalism. We're not trying to accomplish what Jesus did for us on the cross, but there is discipline. There is a discipline that will affect our ability to be strong and have a strong mind that is going to be able to overcome. We said it's connected, though, to the power of God, okay? It's not mind over matter. It's not mental power. You're not overcoming with mental power. You overcome by the power of God. But that mind, with the discipline of the mind, it's like a switch. You know, I'm setting my mind on things above or setting my mind on things on the earth. I'm choosing where to look. That's really the great exercise of my free will. Once I've done that, it's what I'm looking at up there or down there that's going to determine whether I've got life and peace or whether I've got fear, anxiety, and everything else. So it's the power of God that's ultimately going to cause me to overcome. We said there's kind of a vision to this. There's building a puzzle. In other words, as I'm getting a ripped mind, it's not a drive-through experience. It's a process where there's a puzzle, there's something I'm working on. Building a puzzle takes patience and time. It takes an effort where you're getting pieces gathered together, and piece by piece, you're overcoming, you're putting things into place, and over time, that picture is coming into focus. You look at the box where you want to be, but you know that you're a work in progress. We said that's kind of the way it is here, is we're getting a ripped mind spiritually. We get a sense of where we want to go, but we don't get frustrated and down ourselves because we don't look like that picture yet. We take it piece by piece by piece, one piece at a time, as we're working to overcome and get there. Also, we said there's strength training. We said there's rejoicing in hope, you know, counting it all joy when you fall into trials and temptations and tests, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And in that 301, you're going to just by faith begin to rejoice. Many times, if this is great too, when you're rejoicing in hope, find some opportunities to get by yourself and really begin to rejoice by faith. Begin to lift up your voice to where the sound of your rejoicing is greater than the sound of the trial and the testing and the thing that you're going through. That can be a powerful way that you're just rejoicing. You're overcoming. You're counting it all joy. We'll get into that a little bit more today in some different levels. But that's part of strength training. Something's on me and I'm rejoicing. How am I pushing back? I'm rejoicing in the Lord, rejoicing in His strength. And also, there's a praying in the Spirit where you have that another tool, another availability, where you're building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. When I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. It's a powerful way of strengthening your spirit, edifying yourself up spiritually. Like we've said, for those of us who pray in the Spirit, sometimes this has been more of a forgotten link. We've got to remember, get stirred up in that gift. And praise God, it will help strengthen you. It'll help get you in the Spirit as well, too. And it's an amazing thing. I've prayed in the Spirit, and I'll tell you what, that spirit of a sound mind just gets stirred up in me. Praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. And the awesome thing of it is your mind is unfruitful. Because when you get in these points, you're trying to think your way out. And God will have you pray your way out while your understanding is unfruitful. And it's a very wonderfully humbling experience as you sense the power and the strength of God rising up in you and going, wow, I didn't figure anything all out. All I know is I have confidence and I have boldness and I have strength where I didn't have it before. That's it. All I've done is pray in the Holy Ghost, prayed in the Spirit. That's strength training. Thank God for it. Praise God. It's another element. It's like I say, I like to say this, it doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't make God love you anymore, but it's like another club in your bag. It's another tool in your box. It's another resource that you have in helping you develop yourself and get strong spiritually. Praise God. So, also endurance training. There's going to be repetition. There's good repetition, bad repetition. We know that there's a religious repetition that tries to do things for the sake of doing it a bazillion times so that you can kind of take credit for your amazing religious discipline and everybody can go, oh, wow, that's amazing. You fasted that long? You pray that how many times a day? Wow, that's really amazing. Jesus said, that kind of repetition, you got your reward. Everybody's amazed at how religiously disciplined you are. That's not the repetition we're talking about. There's good repetition. The Psalm 1 guy had good repetition. He meditated in the Word day and night. He just meditated in the Word. He'd mutter, he'd consider, he'd contemplate. You know, he might think, well, you know, bring it into the new covenant. We think, wow, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has already passed away. All has already become new. Wow. It's one thing to hear it on a Sunday morning, but when you in your private time continue in the Word, you begin to meditate it and contemplate, you could contemplate it for a half hour. And by the time that you're done contemplating, it's more real to you than it was before. And you have no idea how many times you thought about it. How many times has nothing to do with it. There's repetition that's helping it get in you, not to keep track, to tell somebody or let anybody know. Good repetition. There's resistance. We know if the enemy comes and there's a resistance, the Bible says you resist him steadfast in the faith, and that you're going to, you know, you resist for a while. He said the same sufferings that you're experiencing are experienced through your brothers throughout the world. He said after you've resisted for a while, God is going to strengthen, establish, settle you. So we know that there's something about the nature of these attacks. They're temporary. We need to endure them for a while. After that, strengthening, establishing, settling. Then there's the refreshing. There are times as you're walking through this life, we need to come aside. We were talking about this morning, the green pastures, the still waters. You need to just kind of sit down and just love on God and worship Him and thank Him. Because no matter what you're going through down here, no matter what the deal here is, something that doesn't change is God loves you. He's for you. He's already won that battle for you. The biggest, heaviest lifting has already been done. And so we can rejoice in the Lord always. Paul said, you know, rejoice in the Lord always. There's just a continual rejoicing. Rejoicing and finding our strength in Him. Like we said, God doesn't just love you. You know, He loves you. While you were a sinner, He loved you. And we got to go back to that. We do that at communion. It reminds us that God loves us, He's for us. That's kind of what this morning is about. It's a time of refreshing, just to get refreshed in the presence of God. And so then last week we really talked about another aspect, and that was a diet. Is there a diet involved with health? Yeah. It's true in the natural physical sense. We just said, though, you got to be kind of aware of how do we eat mentally. Well, a lot of how we eat mentally in the 21st century is we touch screens and we push buttons and we do a lot of gadget communication. All right, it's not the only way, but it's a lot of the ways to be aware of how we eat. And a big part of a diet, like even in a natural diet, it's just awareness. We see in the culture that we live in, there's a real increase of awareness of what we eat and how we're eating. And so we said last week, man, that's a big part of a healthy diet mentally, is we got to realize how we're eating. We're eating throughout our day, we don't even realize it, okay? And it's important to realize that, you know, whatever we put into our physical body affects our body, in the same way whatever we put into our mind affects our mind. If you want a ripped body, you got to be aware of what you're putting in your body. If you want a ripped mind, you got to be aware of what you're putting in your mind. These are just basic diet 101 stuff. If we're serious about getting a ripped mind that wants to think on the right things all the time, we got to be aware of what we're feeding that mind. Same idea. Also, just being aware of what you eat. There's mind-ripping and mind-corrupting foods in the same way there's healthy and food and junk food for the physical body. There's healthy food and junk food for the mind. Healthy food strengthens, junk food weakens. You got to keep in mind, no matter what you've done in the past, if somebody won a gold medal in the Olympics 2 years ago in the 100-meter dash, and they eat a bunch of junk food today, their body's going to be dragging today. Even though you've received Christ and you've got the gold medal of His righteousness and the gold medal of the new creation and the gold medal of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, if you eat a bunch of junk food mentally, you're going to feel gunk today. All right? What we're just saying, it matters what we put into our mind, into the diet of our mind. It affects us to be aware of that. Okay? Sometimes we said, if you feel like you're in a fog today and you're just not connecting with God, sometimes just take inventory. What have I been eating today? No condemnation, no finger pointing, no saying shame on, just being aware, you know? Because you can eat some fun food, and it's not wrong to eat fun food. It's just got to be in moderation, right? And it's the same way with your mind. There's fun food you can eat, and it's fine. But if that's all your diet is, you're not getting any nutrition, and you're going to feel weak. Ugh, no spiritual nutrition. Just awareness, right? We got to be honest. If we can have candid, honest talks about physical diet, we got to be able to have candid, honest talks about spiritual diet as it relates to this. And then finally, God's diet plan for you. What is your diet plan? What are your limits? If there are certain genres of music and movie that bring you to a place in your soul that's bad, you got to be honest with you, okay? It's not for you to make rules for everybody else, but you just got to know what affects you, right? And to be sensitive to that. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He shows you, leads and guides you into all truth. And then in the same way your natural diet changes throughout your life, your spiritual diet will change throughout your life too. And God's going to lead you into a good, healthy spiritual diet. So, brings us to what I believe is the last installment of this series, and that is, yeah, I know, I'll believe it too, but when I see it, but 1 Timothy 6:11 says, but you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. We've been using the old original classic Rocky movie as kind of a tool for analogy and some of these components, you know, as we're talking about getting a ripped mind that wants to think on the right thing all the time. And, the thing about that Rocky movie is he's got the training, he's got the diet thing going on, you got the inspirational music, you got all that stuff. But at the end of the movie, there's a fight scene. And regardless of what you think of fighting, and of course we've got all the phrases, I'm a lover, not a fighter, and I'm not confrontational, da 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 da. Let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, you're a fighter. Now, there's wrong fighting and there's good fighting. You can run your scripture reference on fighting, and there's bad, negative fighting we don't want to be a part of. Where do fights and wars come from among you? They come for desires for pleasure, and you're fighting and warring and striving, and the wrath of man doesn't work the righteous purpose of God. There's a bad fight, okay? There's a bad, carnal, natural fight that has absolutely nothing to do with what the Bible calls the good fight of faith. There's a bad fight where you just waste your time and effort and resources and end up in a dark place. But there's a good fight of faith that you cannot get away from. Again, that whole Rocky movie was culminating in a fight. And everything that we've been talking about, fitness, health, strength training, it culminates into the fight scene in your life. And each of us has a fight scene in our life. Our youngest, Abby, she brings these books home entitled, and they're entitled "Who Would Win?" And what they do is they'll kind of pit two animals or insects against each other. It could be the scorpion and the tarantula, or the killer whale and the great white shark, or some of these different things, and say, who would win? Who would win in these battles? And so you're kind of going, you kind of pick your horse, you kind of pick out who you think is going to win and maybe why, and then you kind of read through the book, and then they got this little play out, a little dramatic fight scene in the end, and you see who's right. And one's going to win and one's going to lose. And so there's a lot of, you know, I can tell when even when those books are being read, the back and forth and things that are going on, who's going to win this fight? Who's going to win? It's a fight. It's a fight. Throughout our days, you have those fights. Who's going to win? Who's going to win today? Is condemnation going to win today? Or is the love of God going to win today? Is bitterness going to win today? Or is forgiveness going to win today? Is the lust of the flesh going to win today? Or is the power of the Spirit going to win today? Is the fear of man going to win today? Or the promises of God going to win today? Those are fight scenes. Those are battles. These are the... And what the Scripture says, there's a good fight of faith. That's what they all have in common. There are good fights of faith. They're a fight of faith. A good fight is a fight that's worth fighting for. And the good fight of faith, you're fighting for your faith. You're fighting for what you believe. Okay? And that's really the culmination that I want to see in this message too. That all this translates ultimately when you get up in the morning and you have those battles. I wish we could preach a sermon, we could say a prayer, and those battles would be done. They will be done one day when we're in heaven. But while we're here on this earth, we have battles to fight just by virtue of being here. And that's what I'm hoping, again, this message is going to help take the things that we've taken to this point and translate these into ultimately these fight scenes, the winning the fights of faith that you're dealing with throughout your day. So the fight of faith, first aspect that I want to understand as far as the good fight of faith and how it relates to getting a ripped mind is the fact that there is a faith robber, okay? There's a faith robber in this fight of faith. And what does that mean? It means basically we have to hold on to what we believe. Because ultimately that fight of faith, again, it's a fight for your faith. Jesus told a parable of a sower. I just kind of lifted the parable part and then the interpretation part and put them side by side for the first part of the parable. Jesus said, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Now he kind of interprets it later on in the chapter in verses 14, 15. He said, the sower sows the word, which is the word of God. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes the word that was sown in their hearts. All right? We're talking about the fact that in this fight of faith, there is what we simply call a faith robber. There is somebody who wants that seed is sown. Why? You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If Satan could just steal the word before it germinates into faith, that's what he wants. He doesn't want you trusting and believing and you know, looking to God. So there's a stealing of the word. I'll tell you what, I've had the word stolen in my life before. I've had my lunch eaten by things that I've looked upon at journals I had written 15 years earlier, where I had the answer, the victory, and had overcome it, and had clear understanding. Go, what, how? Man, I knew that back then, and I knew that so clear. The word can get stolen from you. The word that you know. Not trying to find the book or the preacher. I'm talking about stuff God's already shown you. Can get stolen from your heart. There's a faith robber who tries to steal that word. Okay? Now, let's take a look at a couple more scriptures along this line. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. That verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Again, this is kind of the underlying part of everything that we're doing. There's ground rules. Legalism, you know, discipline is not legalism. And you're going to be stirring up the power of God. All right? So I'm fighting this battle with the power of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's those subtle little things. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So here again, we see, first of all, that fight of faith, and now we see a wrestling against an invisible enemy that's taking place up here, where that enemy is coming against us, coming against our mind. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Roaring lion. It would be easier if you could see a physical roaring lion and see it coming at you and be able to take precautions. But it's not. He's subtle. These are wiles. And the roars are the loudness of the thoughts in your head, where you're getting roars in your head. And he's coming to see whom he made of our resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in this world. At the point he roars, he tells you you're the only one and you're weird and you're isolated and da-da-da-da-da. So the scripture makes a point of connecting these two thoughts. Yeah, it's going to be loud. It's going to be horrific. But know that the same stuff, the same junk, the same lie is going on in your brotherhood in the world. Another fellow Christians are experiencing these same kind of roars. He says, but may the God of all grace, who's called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So we see that there's a faith robber who's coming along, and he's trying to what? He's ultimately trying to steal that word. He's trying to steal the word. Now, so many times when we talk about the fight of faith and the trial of our faith, we incorrectly gauge how well we're doing by how we feel. And this is why the scripture is so emphatic about, man, the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. In other words, he's talking to their feelings. He's talking to how they feel about what they're experiencing. It's a suffering. When it affects your feelings, it's a suffering. But at the same time, the fight of faith is really not a fight for your feelings. Satan doesn't really care how you feel. Your feelings have no spiritual power. In fact, he'll make you feel really good if you let go of your faith. I mean, he doesn't care about feeling. He cares about what you believe, about what you're holding on to. That has impact in the spirit realm. That has impact where he is. It's not a fight for you. It's a fight of faith. It's a fight for what you believe. In fact, you can feel very frustrated while you're stubbornly holding on to the promise of God. You know what you're doing? You're winning. You're winning. The same sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Don't gauge it. Don't gauge it at all by how you feel. In fact, when it comes to feelings, we live in a world that is masterful at empathy. We've got a buffet of music, movies, comedy, art. Take your pick. That will perfectly crawl into your head, crawl into your circumstances, and empathize with the pain and the anger and the frustration you feel. To where as you're engaged in that, you'll feel like, oh, finally, somebody who gets me. the power of empathy. That's fine. But what's more important is what they're about to say next. Empathy is not truth as it relates to counseling and guiding you. Empathy is empathy. Anybody can empathize. The world, again, living in a sinful nature and simple flesh, I mean, who can more identify with that frustration? We're talking about the wiles of the devil. When you're at that place of empathy and somebody gets you completely, what they say next is huge. Because what they say next is either going to try to steal your faith or strengthen your faith. This is where the subtle wiles of the devil work. There's a faith robber. And you got to be aware of his subtleties, how he does things. How do we do that? Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity, every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is where you find robbers. I'm telling you, they're especially music, I think, sometimes. You know, because you've got the combination of empathy and the drama of the music. And a lot of times, the empathy's wrapped up in those verses. And the counseling is wrapped up in the chorus. You hurt, you're bad, you're hurting, you get it, I understand. And that chorus is full of revenge, revenge, don't take it, fight, da, 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 da. And your flesh going, yeah, yeah, yeah. We take every thought into captivity, captive to the obedience of Christ. And I know what it's like enjoying music and movies and things like that. And I've had the Holy Spirit check me and say, Ed, is that right? I had to go, that's exactly opposite of what the Bible says. But it makes me feel so good. But you know what? I have to say, but I'm in a fog. What have I been eating? It affects me. See, this is for real. This is not a little religious thing. Spiritual things are real. The fight of faith is real. And when you get into these places, it's like, okay, here we go, Lord. I'm aware there are things that are trying to steal my faith. And that's where it is, too. You can get in a situation where something empathizes, and it's like, okay, I'm getting to the chorus now. Is the chorus mercy and grace and forgiveness, or is it revenge? Is it life? Or is it death? These are ways that the enemy is trying to steal your faith. He doesn't care, again, how you feel. He cares what you believe. He cares what you believe. I would imagine, you think of that picture of David running after Goliath, declaring those things. I mean, seeing what he saw and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know he's doing it by faith. But you got to imagine that there had to be feelings and things that he was fighting as he was declaring the faith of the Word of God at that moment. There's things that we look at those things and go, wow, but he was a human being. You're a human being. And we don't go by what we feel. So this is what I'm saying, the old Smith Wigglesworth line. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved only by what I believe. That's true. That's where the fight of faith is won. When you get to that point where you realize, okay, this is not a fight for my feelings. I got to look past that. I feel like, yuck, yeah, the same things are going on in my brother in the world. This is a fight for what I believe. Ultimately, if I'm afraid, does God really love me? Is his love greater than fear? Yeah, come on, just don't try to do the forgiveness in 70 times 7. Just forget, just get bitter, just forget all that. You try that religious stuff, it doesn't work. Just let go of it. No, I'm not going to let go of it. I'm going to be kind and tenderhearted. I'm going to forgive even as God in Christ has forgiven me. Even if I hit the mat 490 times, I'm going to get back up. I'm going to hold on to my faith. Yeah, I know my mind isn't perfectly renewed yet. Yeah, I know I mess it up, but I'm not going to let go of my faith. There's somebody who's trying to steal my faith. And when you see somebody whose faith has been stolen and been devoured, there's an angry, jaded hatred toward God and spiritual things. It's not that God isn't there or that God can't restore and bless that person and restore them to full strength, health, and wonderful fellowship with God. At some point, there was just like, I've had enough and I'm letting go of this. I'm letting go of my faith. And it has nothing to do with feelings at that point. I'm letting go of what I believe to give myself permission to not have to fight this fight of faith anymore. It's a fight for your faith. Understand that. If it becomes a fight for your emotions, it's going to be a very hard, frustrating fight because you're going to try to fight to feel good. You're just fighting to hold on to that scripture, hold on to that word. Whether it's by his stripes I was healed, or God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind, or if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Be kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, this to-do list, yes, I can, and I'm not letting go. Again, this is connected with refreshing in the Lord and everything else that you do, but this is a fight. There's a fight of faith where you're holding on to what you believe. Understand the context of the fight of faith. It's for your faith that the enemy wants. It's kind of like that analogy that Jesus gives about, if you're going to believe me, it's kind of like the two builders. There's the guy who built their house in the sand, and there's the guy who built his house on the rock. You're going to have to dig into rock. I'm digging into rock. The winds are going to come either way. The winds are going to blow either way. Letting go of the promises of God isn't going to mean that the enemy is going to give you a pass and you can have an easy life. All it means is now you're going to go through life without any promises of God. And the light that is in you now is darkness. Don't let go of your faith. Talk to people. Get encouragement. Have fellowship. If you're in that place where it's like, oh, I need help, get help. Call your pastor. Find people who are going to love you, who are going to stick with you. God put you in a family. He didn't have you fight this fight all by yourself out there. He put you into a body. We've got your back. We're with you. We're for you. We can help you. All right? And so that's important to realize. The answer isn't just letting go of the fight. It's realizing this is still true. This is still true. The next aspect of fighting the good fight of faith is realizing there's a faith finisher. There's a faith finisher. There's a faith robber. There's somebody who's trying to totally get you, identify with you, just totally understand where you're coming from to take your faith away from you. But there's another one who totally gets you, totally knows you, totally understands you, who's your faith finisher, who's going to put into you. Scripture says, therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. In the same way that, you know, Satan is trying to rob your faith, Jesus, on the other side, is helping to finish your faith and complete your faith. Satan is a liar. Jesus is the truth. Satan will come over here again with his lies, with his empathy, his wrong deals. Let me say this too while I'm talking about the subtleties of Satan and how he'll try to persuade you away from your thought life. Not every documentary, whether it be a Netflix documentary or something you watch, is always perfect truth. Do you understand? Documentaries these days are done with such a sense of superiority and condescending and intellectual intimidation. And really, it's like the old proverb that says, you know, the first person who speaks always seems right until the other person comes up and cross-examines them. And a lot of times these documentaries are really like a lawyer telling one side of the story. They'll pull up their little straw man to build them, to tear them down. But you're really getting a very jaded, partial perspective on things. So before you run off as the authority on something, make sure those documentaries are brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. But that's, yeah, what's the higher authority? The world is masterful, has billions of dollars in production quality and splicing and tones of voice and people and presenting something. That's the enemy. That's part of his roars. Ultimately, the Word of God is what's going to endure forever. Okay? So, you've got the finisher of your faith over here, though, Jesus. And you know where to look for him. The Word of God, the Word of truth. He's the finisher of my faith. And I like watching some of the, look, Memorial Day, I've got some of my favorite old war movies I like to watch, you know, that are just kind of neat to see. I mean, real, you know, whether it's Midway or some of those other battle, because you see the battles that go on and the warfare and the fighting and the things that happen. Just how few people actually really know what's going on. Most people don't. Most people are infantry guys, soldiers. And they're fighting the good fight. Because this handful of generals have the big picture. And they're calling the shots. The head of the body is Jesus. And the scripture says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I kind of subtitled this too, you know, looking to your general. The captain of the host is Jesus. He's our general. When you're fighting the good fight of faith down here, you got some promises and things like that, granted. But there's things you don't know because you're at ground zero. And I've never been in war. I've, again, seen some depictions. I'm assuming some of these are pretty close, but you're in those trenches. And sometimes there's friendly fire. Guys on the same side accidentally killing each other because there's such confusion in battle. And that's the way it can feel down here. You can look at situations and peoples and families and relationships and job situations. It's like, oh, this isn't fair. This isn't right. It's a battle zone. And you don't have the eyes to see. This kind of a battle is not like playing a video game where you just kind of see everything. And you can kind of see, or now there's different kinds of video games, I know. But for the most part, you can kind of see what's going on. You see the enemies. You got your, you know, you're trying to, this is, you're down in the trenches. You're one person, one body, many members. You're just one of those members. And you got battle zones going on. And that's what the scripture says, looking unto Jesus. I don't have to put the pressure on myself to know why. I can look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. I come boldly before that throne of grace and say, Lord, General Jesus, in this battle, help me. Give me the instructions. Show me what I need to do. Checkmate in my mind. But you got the big picture. I'm looking, he's going to, what? He's the finisher of my faith. I'm not the finisher of my faith. He's the finisher of my faith as I'm looking unto him. There's a lot of truths, a lot of wonderful things, but he's going to lead and guide me into all truth by his Spirit. He's got the big picture. He knows the enemy so well. He knows all of Satan's tricks, tactics. He's not just the Alpha. He's the Omega. This is like a rerun for him, a real-time rerun. And so I'm saying, Lord, show me what to do. Where to zig, where to zag, where to put my focus today. My attention could be in 15 different ways if I wanted it to. If there's just one place I should focus on today in this battle that would really open up some things, show me. Give me some good general guidance as I'm fighting this battle. And that's the heart I see in the James passage here too. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. Remember, it's a testing, not your feeling, your faith. Do you believe it? Do you believe it now? Do you still believe that? Do you still believe it? Yes, I still believe it. I'm holding on to what I believe. Let the patience, that's going to develop patience, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, General God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Here again, we see you're in the battle, you're in the trial, you're in the test. And what's the answer? Wisdom. Asking God for wisdom. That's my relief. I can say, Father, show me what to do. I need wisdom. I need guidance here. General Jesus, show me what to do. All I've done at this point is I've just asked for wisdom, and it will be given to me. What is that? It's instructions in the fight of faith. You can do that, and the Lord will just have you kind of go, he might just have you off worshiping for a while. He might have you praying for a person. He might have you giving or blessing somebody. in a way that turns out to bless you. Man, everyone who's born of the Spirit, where you come, where you go, blowing, there's an element of mystique to us Christians who are born of the Spirit. And our general, who's given us that Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth, gives us those directions. Sometimes we just need to ask, Lord, what do I do here? What do you want me to do? That the answer is just in the asking. Just show me. Show me what you want me to do, Heavenly Father. I know that I experienced this one time, and how he answers again, that could be a variety of different ways. It says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death. To the other, we are the aroma of life leading to life. I love that, verse 14. He always leads us in triumph in Christ. I'm asking for wisdom, I'm getting it, and he's leading me. He causes me to triumph as my general, as I'm asking him for directions. In fact, you have a lot of triumphs that you get and you forget about. Like I said, I have wisdom that I've gotten and forgot about. I have triumphs and places where he's saved me and had my back that I've forgotten about today. I'd have to get stirred up to remember, wow, thank you, Lord, all over again. He leads us in triumph. He causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. So there's a causing to triumph. Again, the way that wisdom looks, sometimes it's going to be a sense of a knowing. Sometimes it's going to be a scripture where the Lord will give you a scripture. And the Lord will say, remember I told you that's your scripture? Here it is. You just hold on to that scripture. It's like a compass. I had an experience with my dad deer hunting once. My dad sent me on a drive. A drive is when you kind of go through the woods to spook the deer so the people on the other side of the drive can actually shoot the deer and get the deer. But I'm one of those guys who's on the drive to stir up the deer. And I got lost. But I had that compass pinned to my bright orange jacket. And my dad just said, Ed, just go. I think he said it was like north was the road. He said, just follow that compass north. He said, that'll take you to the road if you ever get lost. I remember getting lost. I remember trying to get my bearings and trying to figure it out. And I just couldn't. And you know how it is. You revisit places you've been before. And you can feel panic. I mean, real panic. And I just said, okay, I'm just going to do this compass thing. And I was following that compass, but I thought I saw that before. And all of a sudden, I'm kind of thinking, but, you're fighting it, but you just go with that compass. You just go with that compass. And that's kind of the way your faith is. Forgive. Yeah, I'm just going to go. The general said to do this. My dad was the general in this analogy. He told me to follow my compass. So I followed my compass, and the general was right. That compass was accurate. And as long as I just stayed with it in the face of all the stuff that I was wondering, I thought I'd circled here before. No, I thought, but I'm still going one direction, but it seems like, no, I'm not. It might seem like I've circled, but I'm not. I'm really making progress here. And I went, and pretty soon I'm going and going. All of a sudden I can hear cars. Thinking, wow, I haven't heard anything cars. I keep going, getting close. Sure enough, I got out to the road just by following that direction. That's a lot of the way it is with the general. You're going to find that compass, that true north, that word, that wisdom you ask for. He'll give you wisdom. If it's just one word, you just take it and stay with it and follow it. It'll get you to where you're going. You don't have to figure out the battle, the map. You're just a little infantry person. We're just infantry people doing what the Lord is calling us to do. We're looking unto General Jesus to give us that wisdom and that guidance. So we don't have that pressure on us to orchestrate this whole fight of faith. I'm just fighting, where I'm at, and God is leading and guiding me from there. So I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. I see another one. My members warring against the law of my mind. Here again, we're just talking about that battle of the body, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? You have these battles with your own body, these fights. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So he goes on to say, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Whatever the nature of that battle is, if it's the battle with yourself, it's the battle of influences, forces, whatever it is, Jesus is there. He's got wisdom. He's got guidance. And going with his guidance, looking to him, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Thank God for pastors and preachers and conferences and all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. You have Jesus as your Lord. He knows you better than any pastor or preacher or minister can. And when you gave your heart to Him, it's Him. He's the one who's bought you. He's the one who died on that cross for your sins. He loves you more than anyone can. And that relationship with Him is real, and the instructions that He has for you are unique to you and special. Yeah, it may be a verse that we all hear and know, but it's for you. It's unique fellowship from Him to you. Jesus loves you, and He loves you, and He's going to speak to you. And He is going to show you those things that you need to help you navigate the battle that you're going through, because He loves you. He died on that cross for you. Romans 8 tells us, having not offered Himself up for us, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things, which includes the wisdom I need to get through this thing. It's a big part of the love of Jesus, knowing that He loves you enough to show you what you need to do next. Jesus loves you. I don't know why I feel like such a big emphasis. I mean, we get this church paradigm, Jesus loves you. I love you, but not like Jesus loves you. And there's no one who loves you like Jesus loves you. He loves you. He loves you, and He wants to show you things to come by His Spirit. He loves you. General Jesus, trusting, knowing that love that He has for us. Finally, the end of the fight, winning the prize. This is a very, you know, World War I came to an end. World War II came to an end. Looks like the Korean War is going to come to an end, actually, possibly. Different things. These wars come to an end. Your war is going to come to an end. You understand? This is very, very temporary. And I love the way the Apostle Paul put it. He said, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. What a beautiful picture. He just says, the time of my departure is at hand. In other words, His Spirit is about to be caught up to be with the Lord. I fought the fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Is it worth fighting the fight? Is it worth holding on to what you believe? Yeah, it is. You're not just holding on for you. You're holding on for the people who love you. You're holding on for the influence that you have to the people around you. You're holding on. You're bearing fruit. The Bible says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. You know, the things that you do, holding on, that fight of faith, it brings glory to God. Is there any greater satisfaction than doing something that brings glory to God? Man, there's a fight of faith right here. He says, I've fought the fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. And that's really what it culminates down to. I'm going to go, you know, the old Rocky movie again, too. He said, you know, I just want to go the distance. That's it. You know, if at that final bell rings and I'm still standing, I'm going to know that I just wasn't another bum in the neighborhood. I did something. I went the distance. That sense of significance. You can sense Paul's sense of significance. I fought the fight. Praise God. Right? It's not yo Adrian, it's yo Jesus. Here I am. We did it. You know, great. Enter into the joy of your Lord. There is a race. There is a fight. You're winning. It's culminating into something epic, glorious. Can't see down here. Like we said, Paul said, man, to one were the aroma of life, to another were the aroma of death. You know, the things that just bring life to you, and when you spiritually get it, to the world, you stink. Oh, that religious trapping. Oh, why can't they just? It's aroma. For you, it's life. You see it. Paul says, I get it. I get how we look to the world. We stink to the world. It's the aroma of death. But to those who get it, we're the aroma of life. To those who have ears to hear, I'm not trying to posture and flint. This thing's over. A few years. If you live another 100 years, that's just a couple hours in God time. Tiny. So close. Live it out. Live it all out for God. I love the final exhortation here. 1 Corinthians 15 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. man, abound in it. Whatever you do reverberates throughout all eternity in ways that you can't even fully know or see till you get there. We know in part by design. I don't have to know everything right now. But I know that what I'm doing matters. I know that it's a big deal. The Apostle Paul actually went to heaven, came back to earth, and then said, man, I have a desire to depart and go back there. He said, but if I stay here, it's a little bit more fruit. Wow. Must be a big deal to be here. He said, I mean, for him, it was probably just a few days or weeks that he's talking about. Just a few days or weeks down here was precious to him. That's fruit for my labor. It's impacting heaven. Praise God. There is a prize. You are not just fighting a good fight, but you are a prize fighter. You're fighting for a prize, that prize of eternal life. How to get a ripped mind that wants to think on the right things all the time. There's a fight of faith going on. There's a faith robber who's sweetly and wonderfully empathizing with every little thing you feel, touch, know, but he's there to steal faith. Don't let him. You hold on to what you believe. That faith is precious. Don't let go of the Word of God. Don't let go of those things, because what you have is what's putting in you. That faith is also causing you to bear fruit in the earth. There is a faith finisher, Jesus. We're looking unto him. I don't have to know everything now. I don't know everything now, but I can just ask for wisdom. And a lot of times when you're asking for wisdom for the thing, it just seems so obvious. It seems foolish and redundant to even have to ask. It's like there's an elephant in the room and you're saying, Lord, there's an elephant in the room. What do I do about it? It seems that obvious, but you got to ask. He says, ask. You have not because you ask not. He knows, you know, and you know he knows, but ask. Wisdom, show me. I need to know. General Jesus, give me guidance. Give me direction here. Then finally, the end of the fight. There is an end to this fight. There is a prize waiting for us. The Apostle Paul, you could just see them. I mean, that was just moments before he went to be with the Lord, before his departure. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much this morning for that good fight of faith. We thank you so much, Lord, that we can fight this good fight, that this is a fight worth fighting, that our faith is worth holding on to. It's worth protecting. It's worth believing that you are greater than he that's in this world. It's worth believing that you meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's worth holding on to those great and precious promises that say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, I just pray for each one of us this morning that we hold on dearly to those promises. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith. If your heart can agree with this, say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this good fight of faith. There's a precious faith that's in my heart, and I hold on to it. In the middle of the trials, in the middle of the roars, I hold up my compass and I say, Your word is true. Lord Jesus, General Jesus, give me wisdom, give me guidance. You see the big picture of my battle. Show me where to go, show me what to do. Finish my faith. I will follow you all the way to the end, into your arms, and receive that prize. I have no idea exactly what it's going to be like. I can only imagine. But I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, this is all part of it. It's all part of getting a ripped mind, especially, I'll tell you what, if you can navigate this stuff today, if the world can connect with you and you can still, even they make you feel good and misunderstood, and you can still say, what are you going to say next? I'll tell you what, if you can do that, you got a ripped mind that will think on the right things all the time. You can't be flattered off it. You can't be spooked off it. You know your God. You know in whom you've believed. And that puzzle comes together and it comes into focus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Transformed by the renewing of my mind. In Jesus' name, amen.